Okay, we're in Hilchos Teshuva Perek Vav, up to Halacha Hey, and in this parak so far, the Rambam has spent time trying to explain how an idea of free will and moral culpability could exist in light of the fact that there's so many verses in Tanakh that would seem to challenge such a premise. 1 second. Okay, so he says, Umahu Zesh Amar David. Right, so David HaMelech says, "Tov Yashar Hashem, Al Kain Yorach Hatan Berderech Yidrach Hanavim," which seems to imply that there's some sort of that God is forcing these people, so to speak, to be sinners. He says, "Zesh Shalach Neviim Lahem, Modiim Darchi Hashem Umachz Yonosam B'Tshuva." So it's not that it has to be this way, but rather God sends prophets to explain to people the proper path to follow, and that'll get them to repent. And also he gave us, right, the ability to understand, right, to learn and understand. That's an important point. There's an intrinsic part of man, it's innate, okay, at least according to the Rambam, that any time a person is exposed and is on the derech, or actually exposed to the path of wisdom, right, he naturally wants it. He's naturally drawn to it. Now, of course, someone can argue, yeah, but, you know, there's plenty of sinners out there. So the Rama would say that comes from Amida, that comes from like, your emotions. But when it comes to there's a certain innate part of what a human is that is always attracted to and desires wisdom. V'umash amru chazal, balatara misayinoso klomar, yimatsa atzma nezra al davar. V'alo kasa b'tara. Okay, now comes a very famous question. Okay, the Rama moves into the question of, well, if indeed there's such a thing as free will, how is it possible that God says to Avraham, right, that the Jews will go down to Egypt and they will be enslaved by the Egyptians? That seems to indicate, I mean, certainly sounds like, that there's no free will because there was no way for the Egyptians to act otherwise. So let's see what his answer is. He says, "Velo kasa b'torah v'avadum v'inu osam." Okay? Harei gazar l'mitzim la'asos ra. So it sounds like that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decreed upon the Egyptians to do evil to the Jews, that they had no choice in the matter. Uksiv v'kama'am hazeh v'zona acharei Elohei necha aretz. Right? And also sounds like, right, harei gazal Yisrael la'avod akum v'lamad iframahen. It sounds like also that what's going to happen, the Jews will get up, so to speak, and they'll start worshiping Avodah Zarah. So it sounds like in the Torah that when B'nai Yisrael do bad things, or the Egyptians did bad things, that it was inevitable because God said this is going to happen. So he says like this. He says, "L'fishal gazral ish ploni, hayadua shiyehu azona." Okay, ela kol echa ve'echa me'osan azonim lavon akum, ila ratzalavu lahi oved. So there's a difference, Rambam is saying, between the idea of a national, a national behavior versus individual. Of course, every single individual had the ability to choose whether or not they would pursue avodah zarah. That is part of what makes a human being a human being. You have the ability to choose ra or tov. So every Egyptian had the ability to go ahead and choose whether to do good or not. Okay, v'lo hodio ba'abara elamin hagosholam. Right, ha lemaze dome leomer ha'amaze yeb bahen tzadik rishayim. Right, so it doesn't mean, first of all, that every single Egyptian was doing evil. Right, rather, as a society, so many people were engaged in choosing to, to enslave the Jews, or let's say in the B'nai Yisrael's case, so many people were involved in choosing to do avodah zarah, it became like a national idea. But that doesn't mean that it had to be that way. So even though God says, right, this is what's going to happen, it's always important when God talks about this, that doesn't mean it has to be that way. Okay, it doesn't mean that the Egyptians had to do it. Rather, God is saying that if things go the way they are, right? So it's a reasonable probability to say this is going to end up happening. But of course, since we have free will, we could change that. So these kinds of prophetic statements that God makes are not to be considered written in stone. Rather, they're guidance. But it doesn't mean it has to happen that way. Okay, he says, "Lo b'nei yomar harasha kvar nigzar lav shei rasha b'nei shodil l'moshe shei rishayim b'Yisrael." Right? "Kinin shenemar ki lo yechta evya mekerv aretz v'chein ha-mitzrim kol echa ve'echad Me'osan hamitz matzirim v'harim liYisrael ilu lo ratzal lahira lahem arshus biyado. Every Egyptian had the freedom, if he wanted to not enslave the Jewish people, to not to do evil to them. Shelo gazral isha dua eloho dio shesov zaro asel ishtabe be'eretz lo lahem. Rather, God was telling Avram in the case of Bris ben Masarim that his progeny at some point in the future will be enslaved. Well, actually, will be enslaved in an eretz that's not theirs. The gvar manu shein kolchba don leidahech yada klash baruch gvar matzin elios. But he slips in this one line. But it's important to understand that we don't know this. When God says about this in the future, right? There's always a certain, let's say, like opaqueness to how God says it, that in a sense creates a little bit of wiggle room, and reflects the fact that a human being doesn't really know ultimately the way God knows what's going to happen in the future. Okay, so again, he's relying back on that idea of our knowledge and God's knowledge as being two separate things. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu's knowledge of what will happen is not a knowledge of the future. It's just knowledge. It's complete knowledge. And complete knowledge exists outside of time. So that's the Rambam's attempt to answer this question. He somehow wants to say that at no point in time did any individual lose their ability to choose. Every Egyptian had the ability to choose good or bad, right? And when God says this was going to happen with the Egyptian people, it didn't have to be that way. Right, but at the same time, God understood that this is the nature of what people will be like, and again, probability wise, it would happen that way. But again, like as we always say, ain't somchan al anais. We know that by Yaakov Avinu, right? Yaakov was promised to be the future of Bnei Yisrael, but when he knew that Esau was coming after him, he acted as if that he didn't know what the outcome would be, because a person's behavior, right, could change the haftacha from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that being the case, the Rambam's emphasizing here that ultimately this is the way to get out of the problem, to recognize that every Egyptian still had the ability to choose on his own. So now in Perek Zion, we're going to go back to some particulars about Tshuva. Okay, so now that he's laid out his theory of free will, okay, he returns now to the main topic of Tshuva and deals with a few critical issues. So in Perek Zion Alech Aleph, he says, So Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says, Hoil v'rishus kol adam nesuna lo, k'mo shebi'arnu. So since I have free will, okay, yishtadel adam la'asos tshuva, okay, ulisfados b'fiv mechatov, v'linar kapav mechatosav, k'desh yamus v'hu bal tshuva, v'yiskel l'chayin l'mamba. So since this is the case, a person should exercise his free will. He should try his best to do tshuva and to do vidui, right, and to recognize, because of this tremendous gift that you have, even though, again, you chose to sin, at the same time, you have the ability to choose to do tshuva, and you should take advantage of that, okay? And in doing so, right, you don't want to die in a state where you didn't do tshuva. You want to do tshuva, and this way, you'll merit olam haba, okay? And not only that, the Rambam says in Halacha Bei, it's a famous idea, he says, la'olam yir adam atzma ki lehu nota lamos. A person should always think that his existence is about to end, okay? That he walks a very fine line, and any second he could die. Why? And then, if I happen to die in the next second, and if I die in a state of chait, and I didn't do tshuva, that'd be a terrible thing. So what should a person do? He should have this type of attitude, and therefore, think about that. If someone truly internalized this, if someone really believed in their heart of hearts that they live their life in a way where, who knows, my existence is so frail, it's a dependent existence, that any second it could stop, then naturally speaking, you would do tshuva. And you could even argue, right, that this kind of attitude would, in a sense, destroy the need for a Yom Kippur. If someone really internalized this, then everyone would do tshuva. But obviously, it's not such an easy thing to do. The fantasy of immortality is a very strong, powerful emotion in humanity, and it's very difficult to convince a person to think, in the next second, I might die. Below Yomar Kisha Azkin Ashuv. Okay, Shema Yamus Taram Shi Yazkin. A person shouldn't say, you know what? When I get older, I'll do tshuva, right? Because maybe he'll die before he gets old. Hu Shishlam Amar Bechachmasa Bechol Eis Yubegadech Levanim. At all times, your begadim should be white. Meaning, a person's attitude should always be that you might die tomorrow, in the next second, and therefore it's critical to do tshuva. All right, so that should be the ultimate catalyst for why a person should do tshuva. Now, in Halacha Gimel, he says. Yes. Okay. So he says, "Al tomer she'in tshuva ela ma'avero she'ish behen maaseh kigon znus v'gezel gneva." Right. Don't think that tshuva only exists right through halachic actions. Okay, like znus, right, or sexual prohibitions. Don't think that tshuva is isolated to performance-based phenomenon. Ela k'shem shetzarach adam lashuv me'elo Kachu tzarech lechapes b'deos roz sheyeshlo the lusha min a kas min a eva min a kina min a hatol ridifus amamon v'akavod ridifus amachalos chiyotz behen min a kol tzarech lachzer b'tshuva. This is one of the most critical ideas in Hilchos Tshuva, because if you think about it, first the Rambam saying that a person is chayev to really do introspection, to really analyze himself, to really get into the traits, the bad traits, okay, and then do tshuva from them. Now, and if you think about it, right, it's a very important point, because you could probably trace every action that you've done that's an isser back to some type of trait issue, right? And you could even argue, the Rambam would say, that the real tshuva, right, again, you can't do tshuva gemura on kas. That'd be impossible. But if a person's able to really get in deep in himself and understand what drives him to get angry, as an example, then the area of chet will change profoundly. In other words, the certain chataim that are based on, let's say like jealousy, which leads someone to steal. If a person analyzes himself and realizes what's causing him to have kina, and defeat, and so to speak, defeats it, with lack of a better term, or does tshuva and has it under control, then he won't commit those actions. So in many ways, you can make a compelling argument that it's more important that a person does tshuva for traits than for action. It's just that from a halachic standpoint, for tshuva gemura to emerge, you require an action. Right, because you can't do tshuva gemara on a trait, but you should recognize that if a person really gets into what's driving him, what his emotional drives are, that's the ultimate solution. Right, he says ve'elu havonos kashim osan sheish ben maaseh shemisman shadam nishka ve'elu kashu lirfosh mehem v'chein omar yazov rasha. So that's what the Rambam saying. These sins, these bad traits are much harder, right? Because every action that comes out is the action will come from the trait, and the traits are really like a part of you. So it's a very, very, very challenging thing for a person to really analyze himself and do introspection and recognize what's driving him and to really overcome those various traits and get them geared towards the good. Now, in Halacha Dalet, okay. So in Halacha Dalet, he says, Val yidma adam bal tshuva, right, shehu meruchak mimalas atzadikim. Then they have onos v'achato sha'asa. Okay, so now we're going to talk about a bal tshuva, okay. So what a person would think is he would think that a Baal Tshuva is on a much lower level than a Tzaddik, because he has the stain of sin attached to him, right? And here's a person who lived a life, right, of sinning, right? How could he, and it's very nice he did Tshuva, but in a sense that those actions he did in the world of let's say whatever, Avodah Zarah, whatever it might be, they are still with him. They still have some impact on his identity. Ein Adavar Kein, right? Ela Ohav Nechman Hu Lifnei Abora. Rather, he is beloved before God, right? And it's as if he never committed a sin. Okay, so that's number one. Number one is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the Baal Tshuva as somebody as if he never did the chet at all. And not only that, v'lo od, ela shescharo harbe, right? And even more so, his reward is more. Sharei tam achet, right? Upirish meno, v'kavash yitzro. Because he actually went through the experiential part of sinning. Right, he tasted the isser, so to speak. Right, he had the cheeseburger, and then he overcame his yetzer. He overcame his desire for it. Right, Amru Chachamim, Makom Shabali Tshuva, Omdim Ein Tzaddik Born Yichol Mamabo. And that's what the Chachamim say, that a Chacham can never reach a level of Baal Tshuva. Klomar Ma'alasim Gedolam Imalas Elo Shlochatu Me'olam Neishahin Kovshim Yitzram Yosrim Em. So it's an amazing idea. A Baal Tshuva is someone we should respect more than a Tzaddik. Because the tzaddik was never tested, right? The tzaddik is someone, if you're raised in to put it in more modern terms, if you're raised in a culture, right, where you're raised to be Orthodox, and you study in yeshiva, and you learn all the time, right? So you can talk the big game about what, you know, how, cheeseburgers are bad, but ultimately, without that experience, there's no mechanism to contrast. But the Baal Tshuva, he's able to see so clearly the contrast between why the cheeseburger is bad and what makes the halachic system so good. In other words, that contrast makes them on a higher level. And if you recall, this echoes Avram Avinu. Avram's difference from, let's say, Shem and Aver is that Shem and Noach, so there was never a contrast. They understood the idea of God masoretically. It was passed down generation to generation. So they thought this is what makes sense, right? But they never tested that, so to speak. But Avram was able to contrast the world of Avodah Zarah to God. And that seems like it had a greater impact on him as a result in his belief in God's concern. Same with the Baal Tshuva. A Baal Tshuva is somebody who can truly appreciate the world of chet in a way that a tzaddik never can. Of course, it doesn't mean we should run out and commit chataim, right? But you should have a certain appreciation of what a Baal Tshuva has been through. It's an astonishing thing, and their experience really has a powerful effect on them. Halacha hey, kol neviim kulan, sivu ala tshuva, okay? Vein Yisrael nigalan ela b'tshuva, okay? So the prophets commanded us about tshuva, and not only that, b'nei Yisrael are redeemed through tshuva. Ukvar hivticha Torah shesof Yisrael lasa tshuva b'sof galusun umiyad hein nigalan. Shnei rav ha'yoki yavo lech chalvarim v'shavta ad Hashem lechecha v'shav Hashem lechecha. And this may either be, depending on your perspective, if you're a half-empty, half-full personality, right? How you read this Rambam will be very critical. The Rambam says that the moment B'nai Yisrael, okay, as a nation, does tshuva, at that moment, immediately, we get ge'ula, okay? So the moment we do tshuva, right, then we automatically get ge'ula, okay? Now, of course, there's two ways to look at it. You could look around and say, Jews are doing so much better, you know, it's more learning, et cetera, et cetera. And we're getting closer to that point. Or you could look around and say, no, you could say to yourself, I can't imagine this ever happening. So look at where B'nai Yisrael are now, and in so many ways we have flaws. How can you ever imagine a situation where, as a nation, we actually do tshuva to this level, okay? Putting aside Mashiach. But the Rambam's equation is very simple, okay? The moment the Am is defined as Shav, right? The moment that happens, Geula will take place. It's like a necessary result of the state of tshuva, okay? Which is a very powerful confirmation of how important tshuva is. It is the thing that will bring about the geula. Okay, halacha vav, gedola tshuva shemakreves es adam l'shchina. Okay, so tshuva is so great because it really brings a person closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar shuva Yisrael ad Hashem elokecha. V'nemar v'lo shavtem adai nu Hashem. V'nemar im tashuv Yisrael nu Hashem eli tashuv. Kolomar, im tachzur b'tshuva b'sidbak. So that's why it's also important to understand that tshuva isn't simply, okay, the idea of erasing. It's not just introspection. It's not just about looking into yourself and saying, okay, well, I did this action that was wrong. It's also, there's another idea, which is that it's something external, meaning an extrovert idea, where you look outside of yourself and you see God in a different way. And that's what tshuva does as well. In other words, it's not just enough to perfect yourself on the chait, but it's an idea of a Diyas Hashem that comes along with it as well. So when a person does tshuva, so now his relationship with God, it changes profoundly. Hatshuva mekareves as a rechokim, right? It brings, It brings up to close the people who are far away. Emesh hayezeh sonoi v'yamakom. Meshukatz mruchak v'toeva. V'hayom hu ahu aho benechmat kar v'yadid. Look at the amazing power of tshuva. Yesterday, I was hated before God. I was disgusting. I was an abomination. And today, I'm beloved. So it's amazing that tshuva can literally change the relationship you have with God instantaneously. The same way that God pushes away the sinners, he brings closer those people who repent. Right? Im ye kinyahu ben yoyakim mel huda chosim al yada yamini, the kevin sheshav begaluso, nemar ruzuvavo beno, beyamahu numashem tzvakos, ekachachaz ruvavo ben shaltiel avdi at numashem, samtika kachosim. So you see the power that God, in this one lineage, right, that God is able to take one person and have him as far away as possible, and at the same time, the next person to bring him very close. So a person has to always believe that to be the case, that there's this breach in his relationship that he has with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? But he can also repair it immediately, right? You can go from being hated as the Chote to being beloved just through tshuva, okay? Halacha Zayin, one more. Kama ma'ameula ma'alas tshuva, okay? Emesh, so how beneficial is this level of tshuva, the importance of tshuva? Emesh hayezem muvdol ma'ashem elokei Yisrael. Shenemar avonoseicha ma'yum adilim b'neichon v'en eloheichem, right? Tzolak v'en onenes. So but yesterday, I was separated, right, from God. Okay, and I cry out, and God would not answer. Shneimar kitar bo tifla tefila, right? The osa mitzvos v'torfen osam b'fanav. Shneimar mi bikeish zos miyedchem remos chatzerai mi gam bechem yiskar d'losayim. So yesterday, right, when it came to my, I was separate from God. So the first thing he was talking about was being hated by God. Now I'm removed from God. Okay, I'm muftal, right? I call out, and God doesn't answer me. Right, the things that I do are like my mitzvos are considered like nothing. Okay. Right, vayom hu mudbak b'shchina, but today he's now reattached to the Shekhinah. I mean, his relationship with God has been restored. Shneir v'atem ha'dvekim b'Hashem Elokeichem. Tzolek v'ne'ne, miyad. Shneir v'yatem mikarav, v'ne'ne. And not only that, when a person cries out, when he has the proper relationship, he'll be answered. Those in mitzvos, the makabano somenachas v'simcha, right? He does the mitzvos, and they're accepted with happiness. Right? Shneir v'kikvar v'atzolehim es ma'asecha. So again, in this halacha, he's focusing on the idea that what's the nature of the improvement of the relationship. One idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer when you call out. And another idea is that the mitzvos will be looked upon in a positive way. V'lo od el shemis abin lahem. Shneimar v'arval Hashem in chas yudav yishlayim olam ukshanim kamanios. Okay? So he's going to be desiring for these actions to come from the person who is a Baal Tshuva. And let's finish the parak. Nolach HaChesi says, Baal Tshuva, drachan liyos shvalim v'anavim yoser. So the way of a Baal Tshuva is to really be humble and low. Okay? He sees himself in a very low way. Right? Im harfu osan aksilim ma'aseim ha'rishonim. V'amru lahen. Emesh ha'isa ose kafekach. V'emesh ha'isa omer kafekach. Right? And if the fools come up to the Baal Tshuva, and what do they say? They say, yesterday, right, you were like a bum. Right? In other words, who are you? 1 year ago, I knew you. You were eating cheeseburgers and doing all sorts of yisur. Right? And what do you think? You're like a different person now? Right? Right? Because all the time that they're embarrassed to the actions that they did, right, and that they stumbled over, their zchus will be even greater. Right? And that's why it's a tremendous sin to ever, as we all know, remind the Baal Tshuva about his past. To ever point out to the Baal Tshuva, this is what you were like, to embarrass him. Or to remind him of various things, to remind him of what he did. Hakol asar umuzar lov biklal havanis dvarim shehizira Torah le'ashnemar v'losonu isha samisa. So that's this is an obvious point, but that to remind the Baal Tshuva about what he was is a tremendous, tremendous chet. And in general, a person does that because it makes them feel better. And again, it goes back to some of the Lashon Hara stuff, but it gives you a sense of superiority. But it's a double whammy when it comes to Baal Tshuva, because specifically speaking, you can never remind a Baal Tshuva about that state that he was in.